Welcome to the official PodFest podcast, where we celebrate our community of independent podcasters, brought to you by the PodFest Multimedia Expo.
This is Glenn the Geek.
And I'm producer Jemmy. Welcome to episode number 7 of the PodFest podcast.
And this episode is brought to you by Buzzsprout.
Today we get an update on May's PodFest by Chris Komitsos. Bruce Wozniak shares a few ways to help promote your podcast for our first track, which is on audience growth. And we have a new type of conference track for you, Podcasting Basics. Seems kind of obvious. So for our second track, our friends over at Buzzsprout share tips for avoiding pod fade in 2022. And in all the years that we've been doing this, all the different hosts that we've worked with and met, pod fade can happen whether you're episode 7 or you're year 7. So it's an important topic for us to cover at the beginning of the year. And our third track is a keynote brought to you by Glenn and I. We'll be discussing how to interview authors.
Visit our website at podfestpodcast.com, and thanks for PodPage for providing our website. And we're excited to have the boss with us right now. Chris Komitsos, of course, is the founder of PodFest, and he's our boss.
Yeah, his wife got to join us before that, so that was his turn.
Well, Chris is going to stop by about once a month now, right, leading up to PodFest, which is in May, so 5 months away. He's going to tell us a little bit about what's going on now and what the preparations are to make this one a little bit different. Well, Chris, thanks for joining us on this first episode of the year. And we had to have you because May is right around the corner. And what's in May, Chris?
May is PodFest, May 26th to the 29th.
Yay, a real live huge PodFest again. We're so excited.
Yeah, we get to see our podcasting humans in person. Once again.
I'm so excited. And the hotel, has a lazy river. So if you feel like being lazy, the river's there for everybody to relax and get some R&R, so it's going to be amazing. We can't wait.
Well, we put in to do an improv session again, like we did the last time. We're doing that on the lazy river. So anybody that wants to do that session can meet us out there.
That's the best. I love that. That fits for an improv session, doesn't
it? That's right. You have to do improv as you're floating by everybody else. Perfect opportunity.
That's great.
So, Chris, what's going to be new and different? This is like our seventh or eighth
87.
Year, something like that.
it's up there. I don't even know. We lost track. But I think it's number 8, I'd like to say. It all depends if you PodFest Origins last year. But let's just say somewhere in there. We love the hands-on stuff that we've done in the past. So we're creating an entire experiential wing for people that want to work on software hands-on with an expert. So we're working with Mark Thiel and Steve Stewart, and they're bringing some really amazing educators to do hands-on. So people literally bring their laptop, and they could work on some of the top softwares that they're working on, but get expert help in real time. So that's going to be amazing. And then we're expanding the streaming education. We're working with Dealcasters, our good friends Chris Stone and Jim Fuse, and they're going to be bringing in Amazon Live creators that are also going to talk about that. So on top of all the best monetization strategies for podcasters and audience growth, right now we're going through the submissions. The challenge we're having is they're all so freaking good. We're trying to figure out how and where everybody can fit because we have hundreds of them that came through at the end of last year.
So you're going to have all the usual tracks. How many days is this year?
Well, it depends on what you include as a day, but let's just say on, I believe it's Thursday, the 26th, we kick off. So that night, right, just everybody's coming in. So the main days, I would say you want to be there Friday, Saturday. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you should be good. Wednesday night's the kickoff with trivia, like meet and greet. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the main days. And then Sunday morning, we're going to have some education for people that are still hanging out and there with us. So it's a nice little reunion, depending when you want to come in.
And the hotel, which hotel are we at this year?
It's at the Hilton Orlando, which is right outside the Orange Convention Center. It's right by Topgolf, Andretti Racing, the Comedy Club. There's a lot of really cool venues all around there.
Yeah, actually, Demi, we were down that way. You remember that?
We've been down in that area quite a few times. Yeah, yeah,
for our show.
It's a good area to be in. This is going to be a fantastic event. What I especially love about PodFest specifically is that you always are thinking about what's next, what's new, or what are people wanting to learn? And the fact that as far as something new, you're giving people an opportunity to say, okay, I'm want to discover new tools, or I'm having trouble with this new tool I'm trying to adopt that everyone says is great, but I can't figure something out. And you're really providing an opportunity at this one now for people to bridge those gaps. So you're always innovating and pushing us forward. I love that.
Yeah, and thanks to the two of you, like, you guys are so entertaining as personalities. We've created an entire entertainment track to fit comedy and all the different genres that would fit under there.
Look at that. He's inspired a track.
We have. Oh my God.
There's a lot of really cool things that have come out of it. So that's going to be more. So we dominate when it comes to like monetization tracks and how to grow. Mm-hmm. But we really want to get into the entertainment side of it, because it really, you guys both know this. If you're not entertaining, no one listens. So that's a really important part of, you know, all this stuff.
We believe it's entertainment first, education second. So, you know, that people learn, they want to be entertained first. They have to be entertained or they're not going to hang around. And if they learn something along the way, you're doing your job. I'm so excited about this. We're looking forward to it. Give the dates again, and where can people get tickets?
Yeah, just May 26th, 29th, go to podfestexpo.com. And the last thing I'll leave you with is we're going to have a lot of cutting edge technology of how these things called NFTs, how they're shaping around. And I think we have Dave Jackson talk about how you could integrate the Lightning Network. He's one of the first beta testers, where people could pay you Bitcoin while they're listening to your show. So there's all these other innovations that are just right now, the world is innovating very quickly. And there's a lot of things that podcasters are beta testing. We'll have them talk about it just from here's what I see. Here's how this might shape up. Here's something to be aware of.
Wonderful.
Sounds good. Podfestexpo.com is where you
That's
go.
Correct. Yes.
I love the question
was
mark
that a
at
question,
the end of that.
PodfestExpo.com. You have so many different Podfest sites.
It has changed over
it's
the years.
PodfestExpo.com. Yes, I know. We had PodfestOnline.com last year, so that's why.
Thanks, Chris.
Thank you, guys.
As we always like to do, we love to shout out our community on this show, because that exactly is what PodFest is. It is a community of podcasters, and we support each other. And the person who has been by our side as we have launched this podcast, and who has done an incredible job with our newsletter that we love to mention, is Larry Roberts. And Larry Roberts actually has a wonderful, wonderful thing to celebrate, a great milestone. He's hit his one, you know what? I'm just going to read directly from his post, because he says it so well. His post says, 1 year, with like exclamation points and firecrackers and fireworks and stuff. He says, today marks my 1 year anniversary of leaving a 21 year corporate career to create, teach, and speak to others on the power of podcasting, content creation, and sharing your story. It was an amazing first year, and 22 is already shaping up to be massively larger. So I'm not exactly sure how many years Larry's been doing this thing, but he's definitely not pod fading, and I'm so excited. So congratulations to you, Larry, on hitting the anniversary of your independence that podcasting has brought for you. I'm so excited for you. That's what we love to do, is to see people figure out how to do this for a living. So congratulations.
And when you do, and if you also want to not pod fade, I recommend Buzzsprout. Buzzsprout is our title sponsor of the PodFest podcast, and they are one of the easiest hosting companies to use. They make it simple. One of the things we're going to talk about in pod fading is things have to be simple. They can't be complicated, because the more complicated they get, the more time they take. And the more time you take doing your podcast, the bigger the chances are that you're going to get tired someday. So we don't want you to do that. So head on over to Buzzsprout.com right now. Sign up for their, you can sign up for their basic plan. If you're just starting out, that's fine. Or if you're a veteran like Jemmy and I, you can get the more advanced plans and have more things available to you. But they do make it simple. I tell you what, they make the stats easy to read, and they have terrific customer service, which is something you're probably going to need as you're starting out. So head on over to Buzzsprout.com today.
Now let's get to the conference. Bruce Wozniak has become a really dear friend of mine over the years. Yours too. He hosts Now Hear This Entertainment and also hosts his more recent show, but it's been out a couple years now, is Catholic Sports Radio. And he's done really, really phenomenal things. And he was actually speaking at PodFest Origins. And I tapped him on the shoulder after he got off stage. And I said, oh my gosh, Bruce, can you please put like two or three of those tips? Because he dropped some knowledge. Some massive knowledge. Like, could you please put like two or three of those tips together for us for the show? And he has done that. So let's listen in and then we'll talk about it on the other side.
I am Bruce Wozniak and I host two weekly podcasts, which I'll tell you about shortly, but I am also a speaker at podcasting conferences around the country. And I am well known for my presentation called 20 Plus Ways to Promote Your Podcast. I certainly don't have time to do anywhere near 20 plus ways in just this short segment on the PodFest podcast. But I do want to highlight a couple of them, in particular, one that I want to give a clarification on. And as an exclusive for this podcast and for this audience, I'm going to present a new one that I'm going to now start incorporating into my 20 plus ways to promote your podcast presentation. So the one I want to give a clarification on is when I tell people to refer to past episodes of your podcast, it helps to promote your back catalog. It gives you something to post on social media, and it gives you a way to not just only promote your current episode. So the problem here that I've not been making clear to audiences that I speak to is you have to have a way to send people to a specific episode. There's a big debate that we can't get into now in the podcast industry about whether or not you should have your episode number as part of your title. I do. Whether that's right or it's wrong, the point here is I tell people on my show, go back and listen to episode number such and such with such and such a guest. I talked about XYZ on that one. So just make sure that when you're promoting past episodes, that you are clear on how you are going to tell people to go back and find that episode, whether it's the release date, whether you know the title of that episode, but you can't just arbitrarily say, go back and listen when I spoke to John Smith and not tell people how to find that one. Now, I want to move on here. And the other one that I want to talk about is everyone seems to be debating these days, should I take my podcast to video or not? I'm only doing an audio podcast. Should I make a video version? Well, there's a tip that I give in my 20 plus ways to promote your podcast presentation that talks about converting your interviews to video. And I'm talking about when you are the guest on a podcast or when you are the guest on a radio show. And this might be the happy medium for you, because if you don't have the time, if you don't have the interest, I'm talking about converting your podcast into being available on YouTube. Well, YouTube is the second largest search engine in the world. Everyone thinks it's the largest video platform. So at least it still gives you a way to establish a presence on there. So keep that in mind if you find yourself getting interviewed on a lot of podcasts and or on the radio, that you can take those audio files, make a video out of them, post those on your YouTube channel, and you're still gaining some traction on YouTube without maybe necessarily having to turn your entire podcast into a video show. Now, the new tip that I want to give out is doing exactly what I'm doing here, taking people up on opportunities that they extend to, in this case, submit a segment for the PodFest podcast. I'm talking about when people do a call for submissions to X, Y, or Z. So you need to jump on those and not wonder, should I do it and sit back and wait and forget about it and everyone else does it? And then you say, oh, my podcast should have been talked about on there. This is very similar to an opportunity that I extend once in a while. I also write a weekly blog on my website. And I right now, as I'm recording the segment for the PodFest podcast, I am talking to a past guest from my podcast. You see what I'm going to do there when that blog comes out? I'm going to say she was the guest on episode such and such. Click this link to go listen to it. So when I put out an opportunity like that for someone to write a guest blog on my website, they should absolutely jump at it much in the same way that you should absolutely jump at the chance that someone gives you if they say, hey, submit a 2 or 3 minute segment to my podcast, or hey, we're going to take people's podcasts and list them here, or we're going to, et cetera, et cetera. You need to seize those because it's just one more way to get the word out about your podcast, but also in a place where there's not going to be hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of podcasts being highlighted. If you want my full list of 20 plus ways to promote your podcast, just email me, bruce@nowhearthis.net. And of course, that's H-E-A-R, bruce@nowhearthis.net. And I will happily email you back with that. Just tell me that you heard about it on the PodFest podcast. In the meantime, do please check out my 2 weekly podcasts. One is called Now Hear This Entertainment. And again, spelled H-E-A-R, you can certainly search for Now Hear This Entertainment almost anywhere you listen to podcasts, or you can just go to the show website, which is nhte.net, and Now Hear This Entertainment is found there. My other weekly podcast is called Catholic Sports Radio, and that can be found, again, almost anywhere that you listen to podcasts, or by going to that show's website, which is catholicsportsradio.net. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and keep on podcasting.
So the only comment I have about that is his first point, and that is referencing past shows as a way of cross-promoting yourself. And instead of having people remember, what we've been trying to train the audience to do now is telling them to go to the show notes. Most podcast players, you can get to the show notes just by scrolling left or right now. So as they're listening to your podcast, they can get to your show notes right on their podcast player. And the links are right there. It's the reason we keep our show notes fairly short is they can get to the links they want immediately. So we've been telling them now, instead of giving out a ton of email addresses and website addresses and all that that they're not going to remember anyway, we just say, go to the links in the show notes.
So it's not go to email so-and-so or go to this link or go to that link. Or if you want, you can also check out our social media accounts and you can message me on. No, it's not that.
Exactly. Not that. Now, we've taught them. We've said, you know, recently we've said over and over again, you'll find it right in your podcast player. Scroll up or down or left or right and you'll see the notes right there with links. You can click it right on your phone. So it's kind of an education thing, but That's what we're saying all the time now is check the links in your show notes.
Now, he also mentioned at the very end there, he mentioned kind of blogs, but he mentioned it in terms of his own blog. And I think kind of going off of that, I'd love for you to take the opportunity because you've done that, but a bit different. You've partnered with people who have other blogs as media partners. So instead, for promotional purposes, so instead of creating your own blog, like Bruce has suggested, there's another option. Just kind of wanted you to briefly say a word or two on partnering with bloggers in the same space.
That's right. Well, nobody wants to see anything written by me, and Jemmy will back that up.
Especially not me, because I'm the one he has to proofread everything.
<'Cause>, I'm like, ugh. There's a reason she has to proofread everything, because so, I'm a talker, not a writer. So on that vein, I'm a talker, not a writer. I couldn't have my own blog or anything that looked like it for the company. So we did go out and found other people in our space in the horse world who were really good bloggers, and we work with them. So if we do a topic on a show that we have a really good guest, I'll recommend to the blogger to also interview the guest. But part of the deal is they have to reference the episode.
Nice.
So it's just a good way. They get good content because as long as you're referring them good people, they're going to love that. And they're always looking for content. And that part of the deal is that they have to put a link back to your episode. So it's just an easy, quick way, and you don't have to do the work.
So there you go. There are a bunch of different ways to promote your podcast. We've barely scratched the surface. There's so many ways to do it. And the first thing you should do is actually go check out the means that Bruce had for you to get that entire PDF, because it's chock full of tips and sounded really amazing. So thank you to Bruce once again for your contribution. And if you want to contribute your own segment to the PodFest podcast, like he said, take advantage of your opportunity for self-promotion. It's free. You can submit yourself at podfestpodcast.com.
And we want to give a huge thank you to Tazcam for being our new equipment sponsor.
Oh,
I'm talking
about
Tazcam.
Wait a minute. Hold
mic
the
right
phone.
Now.
We have to give a major kudos to Tazcam, especially today, because Tazcam, thank you. You just helped us secure that interview with Chris because we were having a glitch with our normal connection equipment for the actual communications.
I'll be honest, Skype sucks.
Okay,
and we were using
I didn't want to throw them under the bus. Yeah, Skype sucked. And they kept hanging up on Chris. We had to call his
phone.
We
hung up on Chris about five times for some reason.
The only way you could call a phone number is with Skype. So we were calling him and it kept dropping. So I'm like, wait a minute, I have a solution. TRRS cable to the rescue. And I hooked up the TRS cable to the Mixcast 4 and then to my iPhone. And then I was able to dial Chris from my iPhone. It was captured in the system and it worked beautifully with no drops.
Yeah, there is a phone. There's a phone track on this Tascam. And I'll tell you what, the Mixcast 4, that sounded better than when we had them on Skype.
It's true. It did. So not only did it save the day, but it made it better. So you definitely need to check out Tascam. So they've given us such incredible equipment. They gave us two Mixcast 4s, which is the mixer that we're talking about right now. Not only is it incredibly good and functional, but also it's really pretty. They also gave us two microphones, a TM70 and two sets of headphones. So thank you to Tascam.
And I'm on my TM70 right now. I don't know about you, but I am mine.
I am. Yeah. I don't let this thing go. I take
That's
it with
why
me to Publix.
Both sound sexy today.
It's so rare. So thank you, Tascam.
You know, one of the things you have to think about at the beginning of the year is your show and planning your show for the year. And, you know, pod fading is a thing. It's something we've talked about basically for the last 14 years we've been in podcasting.
Somehow neither of us have pod faded. God bless us.
Well, but that's the point I wanted to make. We have, because we both started shows that aren't around anymore.
That's true.
So, you know, it's not necessarily a terrible thing. If that particular show is not working out for you, maybe there is a reason to quit, right? But all of us that are really doing shows that we like, we don't want to pod fade. And there are reasons you pod fade. And sometimes they're out of your control and sometimes they're in your control. But Buzzsprout did a good segment on one of their training videos. And I wanted to share it with you, but I want to do this one a little bit differently. We might not get through all seven. They did seven tips for avoiding pod fade in 2022. I'm going to go through them one at a time.
Wait a minute. But the link to all seven will be where?
In the show notes, which is on your phone. Just scroll left or right or up or down.
See, there you go.
Very good. Good way to try that in. All right. So we're going to stop after each one and just chat about it a little bit. Maybe we'll get to three or four of them. Here we go.
In today's episode, you'll learn how you can overcome pod fade. You know that feeling when you first start a podcast and you're full of hope and you're super excited to get started, and then it just gets really overwhelming and then you kind of fade away? That's pod fade. Pod fade happens for many reasons, and usually the most common reason is overwhelm. There's a lot of moving parts to a podcast, and it can feel really difficult to fit all of those tasks in to your existing schedule. So in this episode, we're going to help you break through the overwhelm so that you can overcome pod fade. Strategy number one is to create SMART goals. SMART stands for specific, measurable, actionable, realistic, and time-bound. Having SMART goals can reduce the overwhelm because you know exactly what you're aiming for. And that's really helpful when you're trying to come up with a consistent publishing strategy. A really vague goal would be write some topics. Whereas a SMART goal could be write 5 topics about dog walking entrepreneurs in the next 2 weeks.
So Smarkles.
I'll be honest with you. I thought she said sparkles at first.
I did too.
It's like, this is interesting.
Actually, I've had to listen to that about 3 times to even understand what she was saying. I think she's saying just, you know,
SMART goals.
SMART goals. Yeah, I think that's what was trying to come out of that. I want to go on because I think there's a couple others that are more important than that basic first one.
Strategy number 2 is to have a clear content strategy. Maybe you started a podcast with a topic that you're super passionate about and you want to talk about all day long. While that's great, it might be difficult to translate that passion into different topics for your show. So having a clear strategy and having lots of ideas before you need them is going to help you reduce some overwhelm. So an easy way to do that is to keep a running list of topics and even ideas for guests that you can bring onto your show so that on days where you're not feeling terribly inspired to come up with new ideas, you've got an entire list at your fingertips.
Now, Jemmy should love this because there's nobody that makes more lists than Jemmy does.
My lists have lists. I have lists for the lists that have lists. This is so true. You know what? It's exactly what I start training my clients in the development process. One of the steps I have them do is start to brainstorm their topic, start to brainstorm their guests, those kinds of things, because this is exactly right. You feel more prepared. First of all, it's a confidence booster, because if you really want to talk about, let's say, for example, with my other show, business, I was like, do I really know all this stuff about starting a business? I don't know. Can I really step up to the microphone? So I gave myself 15 minutes and said, sit down and just start writing all the different topics you would talk on. Before I knew it, my hand was cramping. I had like 60 things written down, and I knew I had the confidence to move forward. But now I can look at those topics, I can organize them, I can figure out a strategy, an approach, what's going to come out next, and all that kind of stuff. So it's definitely very helpful. I love this tip. You're right. Lists upon lists.
Strategy number three is to create a realistic publishing schedule. Life happens. Maybe you've already got a lot going on. It doesn't mean you have to publish every week or every other week if it doesn't make sense for you. If you're trying to fit too much into your life, that's when overwhelm happens. And unfortunately, something's got to give and it might end up being your podcast. So take a look at all of the obligations you have around work and life and see what's realistic. So for my own show, I was looking at my schedule and I just had a lot of work obligations and I have a family. And so it made the most sense for me to do 12 episode seasons with about a 6 to 8 week break in between them. And that helped me reduce the overwhelm. It allowed me time to plan episode topics and record and get everything out when I said I would. So consider seasons, every week, every other week, whatever works for your life.
This is one I've been having this conversation a lot over the last couple of weeks with new shows that want to start, and they always want to start weekly.
Every week. We're going to have a show week. Every week.
Every week, because it's so easy. And, you know, Jemmy and I make money on production, too. So we make money, more money, if they do it every week. Yet right. We try and talk them into twice a month.
Right.
To start a show. If you start your show twice a month, you probably have a 50% less chance of pod fading than you do a weekly. Weekly is tough.
And that means 50% chance you're going to be keep giving us money. Sorry, go ahead.
Right. And we did that on this show. We could have done the show weekly, but we're doing it twice a month because it's just easier to sustain the show. It's easier to make a good show twice a month than it is a mediocre show weekly. Plus, you're better off starting out twice a month and succeeding and building an audience and having sponsors and then having to go weekly than you are the other way. So we recommend that you start shows twice a month and then you can always go to weekly later.
Strategy number four is to create systems. Having systems in place reduces decision fatigue because you have a list of steps laid out in front of you and all you have to do is follow them. A great way to use systems is to create something called SOPs, which stands for Standard Operating Procedures. Having SOPs means all you have to do is to open up the document, read through the steps, and make sure that you do everything you need to do to get your episode published. And the great thing about SOPs is that it's a living, breathing document. You can create that as you are creating all the steps that you need to publish your episode on a consistent basis. And if you need to modify or change it, you certainly can.
So we'll end on this one because it's something that Jemmy knows I'm very passionate about. I am not the most organized person in the world yet.
Nope.
I was pretty good at setting up systems when we first started this 13 years ago now.
You were, which made it working for you when I came on board so many years ago, so much easier.
We have system. And the thing is, we started out with one show, but we made sure when we went to two and three and realized there was going to be 20 eventually that everybody was on the same system. So when you're developing your show, it's so much easier for you, especially if you have the thought of doing a second one someday, to develop a system that works and stick with the system. And then when you develop two shows and three shows and four shows, you'll be on the same system for everything. And then eventually you're going to need an editor and you make sure they're part of that system. As long as you have it the same and you do it the same every week and you don't cut corners, if you cut corners and say, oh, I'm not going to use this system for this episode, I'll just do something else, you're going to regret that 2 years from now. I promise you, you're going to regret it.
You want to make your future self very happy. And when you create those systems, make sure that they're trackable, like they're steps that you can check off. So whether you're using something more formal like Slack, or I use something called Hive, or you use like a spreadsheet or just a document or whatever, a piece of paper, and you just written out, just whatever system you create, make sure that the steps, there are ways to check them off that you've done it, so you don't have to constantly spin your wheels.
And it's also easier than, we'll end on this, it's easier to go back 5 months, 5 years from now, and look at the notes or whatever system you created for that episode, because you might need something out of that. And it's there for you. You haven't lost it. It's right there. So that's just, you know, that's a few of the things that we got from Buzzsprout there. There are more, but if you do those basic things, you have a better chance of making it through the year.
And like we said, if you want to learn all of them, the link is in the show notes. Yay! All right. So we have one more track to get to for our conference, our keynote presentation on interviewing authors here in just a minute. But something unbelievable has happened, and it's all thanks to the OWL app. Ask me what it is, Glenn.
I have no idea, actually.
You
we haven't
do.
Talked to each other much.
You do. You just have no ideas because of OWL. So as you've seen, I've become very, very busy during the majority of the day. And it's because I now have a gig where I am producing a live broadcast Monday through Friday. It's a pretty amazing gig. But this gig didn't come on a silver platter out of thin air. No, it came through OWL.
I didn't know that.
Yes, it came through OWL. And I mean, I tell you that the OWL app has like blown so many opportunities wide open for me, opened so many doors. It's incredible. And the team there is super supportive. So let's listen in on how OWL explains the opportunity to potential users. You know, those people who are looking for just the kind of expert advice that you as a podcaster or an expert in whatever field or passion that you're podcasting about, the expert advice that you're ready to get paid for, you can do that through OWL. So let's listen to better understand that magic.
So you've been using the OWL app to get expert advice from industry professionals. No? Want to get started? Easy. Simply download the app, sign up, and fill in your profile. You're now set to start searching for an industry specialist to join them on a one-on-one call. Customize and filter your searches to zero in on your preferred categories. OWL will show you the professional's fees, areas of expertise, rating, and customer reviews. Follow your favorites to be immediately notified when they go active on OWL. Just a tap can get you instantly connected on a live call with the expert. You can pick their brain with any questions, review some of their past experiences, or just chat about an upcoming project. It's that easy to seek expert advice. Simply connect, learn, grow. And now, with the addition of the video functionality, you can view and interact with insightful videos just like TikTok. Experts can utilize the video feature to upload clips to grow followers and keep you educated, informed, and entertained. It's all about you on OWL, so why not sign up today?
So is it extremely easy and exciting opportunity, and it's still early enough to get in on the ground floor and become an early adopter. So you definitely want to sign up immediately for the app, and you can do that very, very easily. In fact, even though it's in beta and it's not available directly in the app store, I've laid it out for you how easy it is. If you go to flintstonemedia.com/OWL app, you will find all the instructions right there. But wait a minute, why am I telling you that instead of just saying, guess what? The link is in the show notes.
I was just thinking, could I get on there as a horse husband and convince other horse husbands to pay me to give them advice on how to deal with their really high maintenance horse wives?
I think that would be hilarious.
I could make a fortune.
Yes, you can. you'd be innovative.
Well, in our final track, which is, I don't know, is this podcasting basics, I guess, or?
Yeah, I'm counting this as podcasting basics. Okay. I think I like that because sometimes the podcasting basics, they come up when you're not, you know, creating or launching a show. They can still come up through duration of your entire podcasting career. And this is one of them.
I've interviewed a ton of authors over the years. I mean, hundreds. And
oh, mean hundreds. Hundreds. Yeah. You can build a library off of all the books that you've gotten.
All the publishers for the horse world send us books, so I'm getting books like 5 a week. And, you know, so there's a couple of different things about interviewing authors. And the first thing you have to remember is authors do a circuit. So they get interviewed by a ton of different people, whether it's podcasters or TV or radio or whoever, you know, other bloggers, writers, they get interviewed by everybody and they get asked the same questions all the time. So one of my goals this year this is actually one of the very few goals I made for this year. One of my goals this year was to change it up when interviewing authors. And I've had the opportunity to do that already in a couple of the episodes we've done. And it's been so interesting because it catches them off guard. The big argument is, do you read the book or not read the book? And I say,
I know what your answer is, well, for you at least.
I say, if you have time to read the book, read the book. We don't always have time.
Let's be honest, Glenn. Do you ever have time?
I do personally? I have read a couple of the books.
Really? I'll be honest and tell you, I'm shocked by that.
There were ones amazing. I was really interested in.
Okay.
But otherwise, we may have three authors on a week because we do a daily show. So we don't have time to read all the books. I do look over the book, okay? And I kind of get the gist of the book. But I don't believe you always have to read the book. But then you have to come from it from the point of view of somebody who hasn't read the book, and you have to think, how am I going to entice them to read the book?
Yeah.
Having an author on is all about getting the person to buy the book. That's the goal of having an author on. But authors, there's one of two ways authors goes, and Jemmy knows what I'm going to say here, that you can get some really good articulate authors, and then about half of them suck.
They're terrible. They're just like you were built for the spoken word and not the written word. Some people are built for the written word, not the spoken
word. You ask them to explain their book, and they do one of two things. They don't really know how to explain it, and you're their 25th interview, and you're going, how have you gotten through the first 24? Or they go on and on and on and on and on. So what I try to do when I get an author on is to guide them through explaining their book. I ask them questions that are going to incite short answers that by the time I'm done asking five questions, I have the gist of the book, right?
Yeah.
And they need that help sometimes. They want you to help them explain the book. But you can get through actually explaining the gist of the book in a very short period of time. Now, if you've read the book and it's a technical book and you really want to get into more things in the book and some of the really technical stuff in the book, that's where you then can go after. But your first part, your first paragraph is really making sure that the listeners get the gist of what the book is in the first 2 minutes of your conversation. And one of the mistakes I see interviewers making is I'm 10 minutes in and I don't know what the book's about.
And to translate that more directly, you don't want your audience to not have any clue whatsoever why in the world this guest author is even part of this podcast. Like if you need to make sure that you check that box off as fast as possible for your listener so they understand why this person's even on the microphone.
And the first question to ask is not, why did you write this book? Because that's not the first question to ask. If you want to ask that question, ask it much later. The first question is to figure out what the book's about, because that's what your listener. You have to get them interested in this author and their book before you start asking those kind of questions. Now, the one thing I did different in this one is after we established all of that, I started asking very off-the-wall different questions. It caught the authors off guard, and then they opened up. I try and find, no matter what interview I'm doing.
Okay, wait a minute. I'm a little bit perturbed and kind of scared when you're talking about off-the-wall questions from Glenn the Geek. I can only imagine. Go ahead.
So this is with any interview I do. Once we've established the basics of why they're on, the first couple minutes of the interview, I try and catch them off guard. I try and take them out of their marketing space because that's what authors are doing. They're marketing their book. That's why they're there.
They have the marketing voice usually. Yeah.
And clinicians are the same way. So I usually go a whole different direction once I've established what the book is about to try and take them out of their headspace, to get them to a place where we really can start talking and they're not in marketing mode. And that's with any guest you have, really, because every guest is on the market something.
Especially because I think more and more, especially in the last maybe 20 years or so, I think more and more people are writing books, not for the purpose of writing the book. It's to get something else. You know, it's a positioning piece or something like that. So you don't want to just ask them that because that can be a very, yeah, I get it. Totally. Go ahead.
So I have a couple of questions I've used this year and it's really worked out well because it worked exactly like I thought it would. It got them out of their headspace and then we had a real conversation. A couple of them I used is what surprised you in the research or writing of this book? Because when you ask somebody what surprised them, then it takes them down to the fundamentals of the topic or anything. You know, they all came out with different answers to that.
Yeah, that's a great question.
It is, because it makes them think, because they've never been asked that question before. I also asked, what is the one thing that you learned about yourself writing this book?
Ooh,
by the way, that dead air deep. Is what I got when
because people are like, wait a minute.
When I get that, and it doesn't matter whether they're a fiction or nonfiction writer, they learned something about themselves writing that book. Mm-hmm. So that dead air, what's the rule, Jemmy? When there's dead air like that, who talks first?
You got to wait for the guest to talk.
I don't care if it's a minute. You sit mm-hmm. there and you shut up because the good answer is coming.
Mm-hmm.
The longer they take, the more treasure you're going to get out of that guest. And that's going to lead to a whole great conversation.
Oh, that is such a golden piece of advice right there. The silence can be the best part. You just got to let it breathe sometimes.
Here's another after you've established what the book's about. What turned out differently in the book than you thought it would? And that happens for fiction and nonfiction writers because even if they're writing a story, a novel, they have their own in their mind where it's going to go. And sometimes it ends up not going there. So you end up in a very interesting conversation there. And then you really get into the heart of the conversation about the book and the characters because they're diving into where it might have gone. It really catches them off guard.
Yeah.
If I have an author that is I'm just having a tough time with, then you really have to go offbeat. And I,
would you rather write the book naked or read the book naked? Is that what you asked? Yeah.
do you play music when you write? And if so, what's your favorite kind of music? Because now I'm totally going off the book, right?
Right.
I'm trying to just get something going here. Another good question to ask is how did you feel when the publisher sent the first draft back?
Oh my gosh. I can only imagine the variety of answers.
Hate it. They hate it. Or they'll say, I have a good publisher and they did make it better. You'll get one of or they'll say it was awful. I spent 3 months just rewriting that book, so it just gets them talking. It gets them out of their headspace. So those kind of questions are what I do to take them out of their headspace immediately after we've established what the book's about. And then you're really in a deep conversation that's out of the marketing mode.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's true of any guest you have on, not just authors, but you can do these kind of questions with any guest you have on. And it really does work to get to Joe Rogan does this really well, by the way, he does this really well. He asks these kind of questions and then gets into a real conversation because he can get very quickly them out of their marketing mode. I don't like Joe Rogan much. I don't like sitting there for 3 hours, but, he does. Obviously he's the most well-paid podcaster out there. He's doing something right. Right. So, and he just had the most downloaded podcast episode in history.
Wow.
Did you also see how he rated against CNN and all the news networks in his rating?
You're naming a whole bunch of people I don't pay any attention
to.
Oh,
my God. Joe Rogan had 3 times the audience that CNN, NBC, Fox, ABC, he had 3 times the audience with a podcast.
Wow. And that's on an exclusive platform, right?
On Spotify.
It's not even like he's distributed all these other places. That's incredible. Actually, I want you to share one more thing on this topic because, we talk about one-on-one interviews with authors and that's what we've been focusing on here. But you've done something else that's very, very creative in your history as a podcaster and with Horse Radio Network is that you found every once in a while that there's an author who can go the long haul and you've established a longer relationship and they come back over and over again. I'm thinking, of course, of Lisa Wysocki.
Right.
And so I just wanted, if you can share that as an example of something you can do when you find a really good author who's really great at the microphone.
Well, she was. We interviewed her after her first book in a series of 4. And it was a horse book it was a novel, so it was, it wasn't a real story. Mm-hmm. She was so good on the air with us that we eventually had her back a couple other times. She also teaches lessons and she does therapeutic writing. We had her back to talk about all those things because she's so good. I eventually had her back to co-host when my host was out. And she's become a regular co-host now on the show. But we're years later, and those next 3 books in the series, Horses in the Morning, our podcast, is in those books. Jamie and I are characters in the books to the point where in the 4th book, my co-host Jamie may or may not have been the murderer.
Oh, my goodness. I have to read. But didn't Lisa also join you guys on like a weekly basis to read a chapter of her book on a regular weekly basis, which I thought was phenomenal. Because so as a listener, you're following along.
You need to get permission from the publisher for that. But we did do a chapter a week on our show, on our daily show, where we read the entire book a chapter a week. And people would go back and make sure they listened to it because you don't want to miss a chapter.
Yeah.
And we're about to do that with her second book now. The first book that Horses in the Morning is in. So not only did having an author on result in a long-term relationship, it also got us in three books.
Oh my gosh, you've been in books, you've been mentioned in a card game. You guys are just Hall of Fame, here we come. Boardwalk, Hollywood Boardwalk, whatever that thing is called, here you come.
Well, I hope that helped everybody a little bit in interviewing. We try not to take too long to explain these things, but I hope there was something. If you get one thing out of every one of these episodes, then it's been worth the listen. So tell all your fellow podcasters that they should listen to our show, especially if they're podfesters. You know, come back every week or twice a month. And I was going to say every week. We're not here every week.
We're not here. We can come back and re-listen.
But now we have a prize to give away.
We do. All right. It's our favorite segment. We love giving stuff away. And so this is our trivia segment. And we're blessed because Jonathan Oakes of Trivial Warfare, he's based out in Jacksonville. He's a local Floridian right along with Glenn and I, and he has a phenomenal show and he provides us our trivia questions. And so this last trivia question really got me excited because I knew the answer. I actually knew the answer. And actually it was based on a show that I had watched. And listen, when you and I first started, especially you, good Lord, no one knew what podcasting was. And so it's been really exciting. It's been really exciting to see how podcasting has not only become like part of everyone's kind of known what it is now. People know what it is, but also it's become part of pop culture. And this is a perfect example of just how, with this question here from Jonathan Oakes.
Hello, everybody. This is Jonathan Oakes from Trivial Warfare, back with another trivia question for you for the PodFest podcast. I want you to tell me what actor played the role of Alex Blumberg in the sitcom adaptation of the podcast Startup named Alex Inc. What actor played Alex Blumberg in the sitcom Alex Inc.? Good luck to all of our players. You know I'm rooting for all of you. And you can find more awesome trivia every single week at TrivialWarfare.com. Be sure to check out Trivial Warfare. And you can pick up your copy of the Everyday Q&A Trivia Calendar that I do along with Katie Sichelski every year. It is a page-a-day trivia calendar with the best questions in the world. Go to TriviaCalendar.com to get your copy today. Have a great week.
So the answer is Zach Braff. So that was in reference to the sitcom Alex, Inc. That was what Jonathan was referencing there. But you might know Zach Braff better from another show called Scrubs. It was a 90s show, maybe early 2000s show. It was hilarious.
I still love that show.
Love it. So what's really awesome about this question and why I was so excited was because I know that when I was starting podcasting, half the time when I would say what I was doing, people were like, well, what's a podcast? I can only imagine what it was like for you, Glenn, when you were starting, 5 years before I did or whatever. You know, no one knew what a podcast was.
We called it online radio because it was the only way we could explain it.
Exactly. Hence Horse Radio Network, right?
Yeah.
If you had called it Horse Podcast Network, people would be like, huh?
Oh, that would have been awful. Now I wish it was Horse Podcast Network, right?
You know what?
I do own that.
You do. You do. So no one try to steal it. It's too late.
Yeah, I already own it, people.
It's too late. So when I heard that this was the question from Jonathan, I was so excited because I've been noticing how podcasting has started popping up in pop culture and different shows and everything else. And when it popped up, not only did it pop up as like in a scene, or there's a character who's a podcaster. No, like the entire show was about this guy's life as a podcaster. I was like, this is amazing. We have arrived. So guys, guess what? Here's the thing. So we have a winner, right? And because of who this winner is, we're creating a new spin on this trivia segment, okay? Because y'all are submitting yourselves, but you're submitting yourselves slower than our winner. Our winner is, drum roll please, Tim McGinnis. Once again, our winner from the very first trivia question. He already won the intro voiceover from Jody Krangle. Congratulations, Tim, the wonderful talent who does our voiceover on intro on this show. He won that, and he was first at bat for this one too. And them's the rules, man. You can submit the correct answer, but you have to submit it first. So Tim has once again won, and he won the Tascam TM70 microphone that Glenn and I are both using right now. Well, not one of ours,
I'm
but another one.
I'm giving him a new one, I think.
Anyway, so
you know, with COVID and everything, we probably shouldn't send one of ours.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah. It'll be new in the box, we promised him. But congratulations. So that's the new twist on this game, guys. You got to beat Tim. You have to submit your answer faster than Tim. And of course,
if I were you, I'd go right to the end of the show, listen to the question before you listen to the rest of the crap.
Oh, and that then is so smart.
Send that in. That's what
that
I
is. I think that counts as a smart goal.
Yeah, that's right. For 2022. And we'll announce what that is coming up, our prize for next month. We will.
So next time you hear that there's an episode out, it's out on the 10th and the 25th of every month. As soon as that date strikes, you pull up that episode and do what Glenn just said. Go to the end, listen to the trivia segment, and then go to podfestpodcast.com and submit it under the contact page, right? You got to do that, and you can win our next amazing prize. But right now, congratulations once again to Tim. That's the name of the game. You got to beat Tim. Congratulations, Tim.
Well, go to podfestexpo.com and get your tickets for PodFest. We want to see you there. Jemmy and I are so excited to see everybody, and we're believing COVID's going to be over and we get to hug again. So we're hoping to see everybody there and have a great time hanging out with y'all. The major fun of PodFest is hanging out in the aisleways and in the hallways after the sessions and just visiting, going to the parties at night, doing all that stuff.
Losing your voice before you mean to because you have a presentation the next day. You know the routine.
So it's a neat hotel. We know this area very well. We were there for our podcast, Finding Florida, several times. Mm-hmm. So it's a really cool area. We've been to that convention center a few times. So head on over to, by the way, if you want to check that out, it's Finding Florida. We had to quit it during COVID, but it's a fun show. It's very evergreen.
Didn't you know that I actually played a clip from Finding Florida during my broadcast? The one that I got booked as a gig through the Owl app, I actually played.
Oh, really?
We were randomly talking. We were using an analogy of trapeze about how when you're given some really good advice from someone who's been there, done that, you have to let go of the bad advice and then have faith to catch the other bar. And I'm
so
like, wait a minute.
So you played you screaming on the trapeze?
So I played it for the whole audience. They loved it. And they loved your commentary. So if you want to see it, I'll put a link to that video in the show notes too.
She may have left go, but she didn't leave go quietly.
I didn't leave go quietly. So I cannot be found right now on a trapeze swing, but I can be found at flintstonemedia.com.
And of course, where can you find everything about today's episode, Jemmy?
Podfestpodcast.com. And where can we find you?
They can find all the stuff in our show notes. Scroll left or right or up or down. And I also can be found at horseradionetwork.com.
So we'd really love your feedback. So please head to that website, click the contact tab, and send us a message. But we'd really love for you to try to submit yourself before Tim.
That's right. Podfestpodcast.com.
So thank you to our sponsors, as always, Buzzsprout, Owl, and Podpage. And of course, Tascam, our new equipment sponsor. You are awesome. And on the 25th, when our next episode comes out, we hope you are one step closer to seeing us at PodFest. Get your tickets!